Okay.
Okay. The name of this message is called A Bridal Relationship. And so, Lord, we just ask your Holy Spirit to just not only open our eyes and our ears, but more important, that our hearts be open. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to share with the church what the Lord has been showing me or leading me into, and that is a relationship, a marriage relationship with the Lord. I wrote this down, so I hope you guys bear with me. But and I'm also going to be sharing a couple of experiences that I had. One was recently, and the other one was quite a few years ago. But several months ago, this is when I feel the Lord was leading me into this deeper relationship with him, which started like right after the conference that we went to. But I just basically started falling in love with Jesus all over again. Amen. But with a deeper love. And in the middle of the night, I would catch myself just telling him how much I love him. And throughout the day, I started to also tell him how much I love him. And so I started to read the Song of Solomon. But before, in the past, I didn't like reading the Song of Solomon, because mostly because I didn't understand a lot of it. I mean, I knew it was about the bride and the bridegroom, but it was just a little difficult for me. But this time, the Lord was revealing so much more about it. And I also learned that God is not random. Everything in his word shows a purpose, and he's very specific in his word, and he uses a lot of symbolism and metaphors, a lot of which I still don't understand. But I'm also finding out that he's unveiling it to me at his perfect timing. Amen. And he continues to do so, or I pray that he continues to do so. And so we can turn to the book of Esther, chapter 2, verse 12. And I'll read this. In the book of Esther, though, we see a picture of how Esther has to prepare herself before she meets the king. So verse 12. Each woman's turn came to go in to King Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months preparation, according to the regulations for the women. For thus were the days of their preparation apportioned, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. So Esther is the symbol of the bride of Christ. She had to literally soak herself in oil of myrrh and all the other sweet fragrances for 1 year. So you can imagine the beautiful fragrance that she had when she came before the king. She was just oozing with this fragrance. And then, excuse me, in the book of Exodus, you don't have to turn there, Exodus 30, verses 23 through 25, and verses 34 through 38, the Lord gave Moses very specific instructions on how to make the anointing oil for the lamp, and also specific instructions for the incense for the altar of incense. And by the way, the altar of incense is in the holy place, but it's exactly right before the veil into the Holy of Holies. So when the candlestick was lit, not only did it give out light, but there was also a sweet smell that permeated the entire tabernacle. So in the same way, Esther had to prepare herself 6 months with oil and myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and preparations of beautifying herself, so must the bride of Christ prepare and purify herself before our King. And so I will tell you about this experience that I had, but it was quite a few years ago. And this is what happened. Several years ago, I was awakened in the middle of the night by the most beautiful, sweet-smelling fragrance. And the first thing that came out of or into my mind was, "Lord, is that you?" But then I went right back to sleep. I didn't really know too much about that. I didn't know about the fragrance of the Lord or anything about that, so I didn't really think about it. But and I also shared it many years ago, and this was when Sue Webb was still here with us, and I shared it with her, and she said she had the exact same experience. But anyways, so the fragrance was like that of many roses filling my bedroom. And so the Lord gave me Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 1. "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys." And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." And 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, you know, you can turn there, but I'm going to read what I have written down. "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." And then verse 15, "For we are to God the sweet fragrance of Christ." And it says, "among those being saved and among those who are perishing." So we are to be his fragrance. We are to have his fragrance. And I know that we've been taught that the altar of incense is praises and prayer to the Lord, and that is true, but it's also being the fragrance of Christ. And Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. Let me read that, because I didn't write that down. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine, because of the fragrance of your good ointments. Your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you," meaning the bride. And verse 12, "While the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance. And spikenard is a plant that has this beautiful flower, purple rose color. So that's the altar of incense. So now, how do we prepare and purify ourselves? Through intimacy with our Lord Jesus. It is in the secret place of our Most High God. One of the most highest forms of intimacy with the Lord is our one-on-one time with him. The Apostle John knew all about that. In John, the 13th chapter, verse 23, from the Amplified Version, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, whom he esteemed and delighted in, reclining next to him on Jesus' bosom, he sought a place close to the Lord, right at the heart of God. And in John 1, verse 18, this is Jesus speaking. "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. John clung to the Lord. He was the only apostle who stayed close to Jesus at his trial, and even as he was being crucified, while all the others fled in fear. By the Lord's heart is where the bride is to be. There's no fear, and there's peace. Hold on a second. Another characteristic of the bride is humility. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. Jesus said, "Take my yoke, learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And another characteristic a bride should have is a hunger for God and his word. Psalms 42, 1 and 2, "As the deer pants for the water, my soul thirsts for God, the true living God." And in John 14, verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We will become his habitation." And so the next part I'm going to talk about is the bride is like a dove. And I got some of this out of a book that I was reading called A Rose for Jesus. It was written by Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj. And I will read some of the verses from the Song of Solomon. Chapter 2, verse 14. "Oh, my dove, in the cliffs of the rock, in the sweet places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." And this is the bridegroom speaking to the bride. He really wants us. He's wooing us. Song chapter 5, verse 2. And this is the bride speaking. "I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. Behold," this is Song chapter 1, verse 15. "Behold, you are fair, my love, you have dove's eyes." And chapter 4, verse 7, "You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you." And I wanted to read, this just happened by chance. I was listening to Morningstar. They had a conference a couple weeks ago, but Paul Keith Davis was on there, and he was talking to another guy. It wasn't Rick Joyner. I don't know who the guy was, but it really caught my ear because he gave a verse from Psalm 68. It says, "You are the wings of a dove. Oh, wait a minute. You are like the wings of a dove, with pinions covered with silver and of glistening gold." And he said that doves are unlike eagles. Yes, eagles soar. They soar high, and they're very powerful birds. But a different kind of people are the doves that fly right into God's heart and have access to the very heart of God. It is one thing to see the power of God. It's another thing to see why he does what he does, and to see his motivation, which is pure love. Okay, so back to the dove. Why does the Lord use the dove? The dove is an ancient symbol of purity and innocence. It was the only bird allowed to be offered in the sacrifice by the Levitical law. Doves are pure, undefiled, and harmless. Matthew 10, verse 16. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Doves are unique. Out of all the animals, the dove has no gallbladder or bile. It is pure within, undefiled. No wonder the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove when Jesus was baptized. And so the bridegroom calls us, my dove. So we are to be pure, undefiled, harmless, no evil intentions in our heart or thought against one another. Also, the dove, when they find a mate, they remain with that one mate till they die, faithful and true. And when their mate does die, they actually go through a mourning, which is why one of the doves is called the mourning dove. And so now I'll talk about the other experience I had. And this was recently. This was October 17th at 5:05 a.m. I woke up, and I still had my eyes closed, so I was awake. I believe I had a vision. And so I saw this large veil right before me. And as I was looking at it, I could see a knife starting to cut through the veil. It was on the other side of the veil. The knife started from the top, well, not at the very top, but at the edge of the top, and started cutting down towards the bottom. And so when this was happening, I thought to myself, the veil has been rent and torn. And I know the veil represents religion and the law and how the Lord, when he died, he tore it. So I walked past the veil and saw, but this time I saw a very large wooden door, and it was closed. It was right before me. And on the door was carved a head of a lion. And I thought to myself, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so I walked past the open door. It was open now. And then, from a not very far distance, maybe 20 feet or so, I don't know for sure, but I saw the Lord Jesus, only I couldn't see him clearly. And I was hoping that I could see him more clearly, but then the vision just faded. And so I got the verse, John 10, chapter 10, verse 9, in the Amplified Version. Jesus said, I am the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved and will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and will find pasture. And this, it also reminded me of the dream that Jacob had of the ladder, where he saw the angels descending and ascending back and forth, an open heaven. And so that's how I interpreted the Lord saying that that's what he wants his bride to be, in the Holy of Holies. And so here's another verse that I got for that. Psalms 84, verses 1 through 4. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Psalms 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty, abiding in him, in his love. So Christ is the Holy of Holies. Christ is the Ark of the Covenant. Christ wants to share himself with us, his bride. And it's not about visitation, but it's about habitation. And he wants to marry us. He wants to share his name. What a love. Two becoming one, true intimacy. The highest form of relationship is the bridal relationship. Let's fall in love with Jesus all over again. The lover of my soul. His banner over me is love. It's a beautiful mystery. So this is a journey and it's a process. And there is a cost. We'll be tried by fire, but it is so worth it. Amen.